Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Represent, this is a day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
Anybody realize that God made this day?
Yes.
Because God made it, we ought to rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
Can we say thank you, Jesus? And not in the spirit. So I said, you know what, that's so true, as Brother Gibson said this morning. Many times we attempt to do a work for God, but we try to do it our way.
Yes.
Amen. But we're just grateful to God and thank God for blessing my wife, my grandson, and daughter, and granddaughter to travel safely to Virginia and back. We can never take it for granted. When we get in the car, that we're going to arrive at our destination. I was turning to Walmart yesterday and a guy wasn't paying attention and he was in a truck. He ran into a car and they had a four-car chain reaction accident out of nowhere. You know, so you can never take it for granted when you get in a car that you're going to make it to where you're going. Somebody said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? So we thank God for that. We thank God once again for my wife, for life, health, and strength. And we thank God for all of you. Can you all give yourselves a hand, praise? Yeah. Come on, give yourself a hand, praise. Yeah. Because you may arrive to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And we just bless the Lord for that. And we just thank God for what he's going to do.
Yes.
Amen. As I listen to the news and I watch all of the world events and circumstances taking place, I wonder, as a church and as an individual, how many red flags, how many alerts are going off of us in our spirit and soul spiritually? As we see all of the events unfolding and how immorality seems to be the standard instead of morality, how ungodliness is promoted more than godliness, how sin and degradation is being promoted more than holiness. I wonder, can we see that these are signs of the time?
Yes,
that the Lord gave signs to the church,
yes,
warning us that his second coming was imminent and that God is on the way.
Glory to God.
The devil is so shrewd in making us concentrate on secondary, non-meaning things. And we neglect the most important thing. The scripture said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and what? Lose his soul. Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? If we stop right there, we can just make a whole message out of that right there. What can you give in exchange for your soul? The time that we neglect God and come to church because of anything else, is that more important than our souls? Amen. So our message today is going to be dealing with the soul. And the Bible calls the soul the heart. Amen. So let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming out of the 46th division of Psalms. The 46th division of Psalms. And before we start, ask yourself a question and then give yourself an honest answer. This is for you. This is not for anyone else. Salvation is so important. The Bible says we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Can you honestly say that you're doing all that you can for God? Can you honestly say that you're doing all that you can for God? Now, we all have shortcomings. But the shortcomings shouldn't be the rules. They should be the exception. So honestly, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live all this life in this earth all this time, be in church, and hear the Lord say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. Now if you read about that in the 7th chapter of Matthew, they said, Lord, we preached in your name. Lord, we healed in your name. Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Lord, we perform mighty, mighty works of miracles in your name. And the Lord's going to tell me, he said, depart from me, I never knew. How did they do this?
Yes.
How did you do all of those wonders and miracles and all? How did you do it? He said, because you used my name. Amen. So the power wasn't in them, the power was in the name. Today I wonder how many of us are neglecting deliverances and healings that we should have because we refuse to stay in the name. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Psalms 46, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 today. Amen. And we're concerned about the heart. Now many times when we hear the heart, we think about what pumps the blood through the body. We're not talking about that heart. We're talking about the seat of our emotion. We're talking about the part of you that's going to live on forever somewhere. And the heart is synonymous with the soul. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 1 reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Who's a very present help in trouble? God. How many of us really believe that?
Amen.
How many believe that God is a refuge? How many believe that God is a strength?
Glory.
Somebody said, a strength is failing. You need to get back in God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because when you're in God like you are to, then God is a refuge. God is a strength. And he's not just any kind of help, but he's a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Why don't you fear? Because God is a very present help. My dependency is not on me and what I can do, but it's on
God.
On God.
Yes.
Though the earth be removed, though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, say God. He said, after you consider this, just take a moment and reflect on what you just read. Anybody need to take a reflection moment? I said, anybody need to just take a reflection on it. Verse 4 reads, they in the river, the streams well shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that. Once again, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Now let's just get down to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is
with us.
Anybody know God is with you? Give God a wave. He said, I will be, the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Selah.
Lord, we thank you this afternoon for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for being in your presence. For in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, and at your right hand there are pleasures evermore. And as we assemble as a congregation, Lord, as we stand before thee in prayer, Lord, as we look to your holy hills from which cometh our help, Lord, we ask you to send help from the sanctuary. Lord, we ask you to speak to every need this afternoon. Lord, we ask you to deliver. Lord, we ask you those that are bound that you set free. Lord, those that are under any affliction, we ask you to liberate them. Lord, we ask you to send the word of anointing. Lord, for only the anointing can destroy the yoga. And Lord, our hearts desire this afternoon to speak. Lord, move self. self out of the way. Lord, move flesh out of the way. Lord, move personal ambitions out of the way. And use your servant as your mouthpiece to speak to the needs of thy people. And for this, we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. And you may be seated.
Glory to God.
The psalmist said that God is our refuge and
strength.
And what I love most is when you're in trouble, you need very present help. Anybody feel as though you got some trouble today? You need God. Amen. Verse 5 says that God is in the midst of her. And because God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, because God shall help her and win. Right here. Somebody said, well, early in the morning, oh, God is working your situation out before it happens. That's what it's right early. So the situation is taken. But because I have the assurance that God is in the midst and that God is working it out, I am not troubled. Hallelujah. The Lord himself said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Now once again, our focus today is the heart. The heart is the part of you that's going to live on forever. The heart is the part of you that medical science cannot diagnose. The heart is the part of you that we cannot diagnose as human. The heart is the part of you that nothing can diagnose but God. Amen. So it's so important that we keep God in the midst. I wonder, when we woke up this morning, before we went to bed last night, could we honestly say that we said a prayer that God was in the midst? When we got up this morning to begin our day, was God in the midst? As we traveled on our way to church this morning, was God in the midst? Was God in the midst, or was the focus on everything, all the trouble and all the problems coming our way, when the scripture said that if God is in the midst, God will help you, and God will help you not late, but he'll help you right early. So I wonder, when we woke up this morning, hallelujah, when we walked through the doors, was our eyes looking up to Jesus, or were we focusing on all the problems in our life? God is in the
midst.
Look at somebody say, God is in the midst. I mean, say it like you really believe it. God is in the midst. And I might have a lot of trouble. I might have a lot of problems, because God is in the midst. I shall not be moved. Anybody really believe that God is in the midst? Hallelujah. 1,000 are following my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but he won't touch me. I heard the psalmist say, only with your eyes shall you behold to see the reward. Hallelujah. So our message on this afternoon Can you follow God without challenging him? Can you follow God without challenging him? Somebody said, wait a minute. I would never challenge God. I will always follow God. You know what it means to challenge God? To challenge God means we question the veracity of his word. We question whether or not what God says is true or not. To challenge God means you say, God, when I look at the situation and I look at your word, I know what your word says, but I'm challenging you on this because I feel as though my way is more superior than your way. That's when you are challenging God. To challenge God means to say, God, I don't believe that you got all power. I don't believe you have all authority. To challenge God means every time God says move, you ask him why. If God said go to the right, you say, why? If God said just be still, you say, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the troubles in my life. How can I be still and say nothing when I'm going through all this trouble? Can you follow God without challenging him? Amen. Now let's go to Psalm 37 for just a moment. We're going to read another verse in Psalm 37. And that being verse 7 of the 37th division of Psalm. Now we're talking about the what? The heart. A heart is after God will follow God. A heart is after God will say, Lord, whatever you say, I will do. And in doing it, I won't question whether your word is true or not. Many of us inadvertently challenge God. Inadvertently means we don't do it intentionally, but we hear God say, he can heal me. And somebody said, I don't believe he can heal me. Don't challenge God. God said, I've delivered you in your situation. He said, well, God can't deliver me. Don't challenge God. God has saved your children. Somebody said, yeah, God can't be here. Not yet. Stop challenging God. Just follow him. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So we can't figure out what God is doing, so we don't want to be still. We want to get all wrapped up in what only God can do. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. I guess it ties in with the message we heard yesterday on rest. I didn't know about it, but we heard the message on rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. So when we go back up and we read this 7th verse, it says, rest in the Lord. That word, rest in the Lord, means follow the Lord and be quiet.
Yes.
Follow the Lord and don't say nothing. Just follow him and let him lead you and don't you say a word. That's what he means when he said rest in the Lord. It means to silently follow God without asking him why. Rest in the Lord. How many of us, now this is our own test. This is for you to search yourself. How many of us can now listen and say I'm resting in the Lord and I'm following God and I'm not opening my mouth and saying a word. So when you're resting in God, I mean you're following him. And you're not saying a word. Hallelujah. So God is leading me in the West. In my carnal mind, Lord, when I look at this, this look wrong. Lord, this don't look right. But the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil and neither tempted be any man. So if God is leading you, you have the assurance in the word of God that all things will work together for good. So you are to follow him. Now, what has happened, not in your life, so other people like this, following God, but they weren't comfortable with the way that God was leading. So because they weren't comfortable and in their finite minds they could not figure it out, they stopped following God and began to ask God why. God said, you don't see what I see because I'm not a man that I should lie and neither am I the son of man that I should repent. God said, if I said it, shall I not do it? If we stop right there, how many situations have God spoken into our lives, but we have debated him. We have challenged him. To challenge me, we say, God, I don't believe believe you can do it. God, I don't believe it, that you have all power. God, I don't believe in your superiority. When we challenge God, we say, God, I got a better way. Does that sound like any of us? I'm glad it doesn't.
Glory to God, hallelujah.
But when you're following God, whenever God leads you, you will follow. The problem that Israel had when they came out of Egypt, there was a shorter way that God could have led them to the promised land.
Right.
But God said, no, I'm not going to lead you the easy way. I'm going to lead you the way to find out what's in your heart. Yes, I could have taken you a shortcut. I could have taken you an easy way. I believe they said they could have made the journey in less than a week, but the God took them in my way because he wanted to reveal their hearts. Today, yes, God could have taken up a shorter way. It took us 2 years to get in this church, and in speaking to numerous people over the course of us being here, there are a whole lot of other people that tried to buy this church, but God didn't bring us the shortcut. God didn't bring us the short way. God said, I'm going to lead you the way because I want to know what's in your heart. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'm so excited to be in the church and all that God's doing. God said, no, I'm looking at your heart. Because when I speak a word, instead of you agreeing and saying yes and following, you got a better way. I'm so glad I'm not a force. In the force, they had a what? A better way. So, how many are for saints? I don't want to be a for saint. I just want to be a regular saint. If God says, follow, I say, Lord, where you lead me, I will. And Lord, where you tell me to go, I will go. Because I don't want to challenge God. So the scripture says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the law, eyes of the Lord, if you sit here, you ain't heard. Well, the scripture said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. God is not just trying to show himself weak in your circumstances. God is trying to show himself strong. But there is a condition that we must meet in order for God to show himself strong. He said, in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect, and we begin to challenge God and his authority. We come to church and we read the word of God. God says in his word, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But some of us have got a better way. Say, well, God didn't really mean it that way. Don't interpret God's word. Because the Bible says the word of God was not up to any private interpretation. The scripture interprets what God means. It's, well, some of us, we've been in church for like a long time. And I've been in church long enough. I don't need you to tell me. I can read the Bible for myself. If what you believe does not line up with the scripture, that is a private interpretation. That means that's something that only you have, and God never meant it to be that way in his word. God has spoken, and in God speaking, you are challenging God. Can we say praise the Lord? Because I got a better way. If the church is doing something, yes, the church is not perfect. Yes, the church may err. But if we're doing it and God is with us, we ought to follow without challenge. So the church is going in a direction, but somebody got a better way. And in the heart, now we go, let's say the heart. And once again, the heart of your heart is not what the medical science can see. The heart is what only God can see. The Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart. He said, I try the reins to give unto every man according as his works are. So God is searching us. And I was sitting there the other day, and the scripture just kept going over and over in my mind, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Like, Lord, we've been doing this for like the last maybe 4 or 5 years. We've been dealing with, every time we turn around, in and trust in the heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We all trust Him with all your heart. God said, man, I can't trust Him with all your mind. Right? Because the mind can change.
Amen.
He said, I didn't ask you to trust me with all your lip. Because you can say something to me to love. God said, I ask you to trust in me with all your heart. So I'm not perfect. I'm ready to speak to God. What do you mean by this hard situation? What do you mean trusting you with all your heart? So I had to, I thought I knew what it meant, but I wanted to make sure that I understood what it meant. It said the heart is a part of you that's going to live on forever. When God created mankind, He placed and deposited something in us that only He could feel, which is our soul. So when God created us, He created the soul. That's the heart. That's the part of you that's going to live on forever. Hallelujah. So when I look at my heart, I don't let sin stain my heart. I don't let disobedience to the word of God stain my heart.
I feel when I'm
falling. But how are you following God? Are you following him quietly, or all you're doing is murmuring, complaining about how things are? Rest in the Lord.
Yes.
And wait for him. How? Patient.
Yes.
And God will work it out. But I promise in our heart there's some issues that God is trying to reveal, not to himself, because he already knows. God said, I could have changed your situation around 20 years ago, but I didn't change it because your heart has not yet changed. God said, I could have worked your situation out last week, but I'm not going to work it out because there's an issue, and the issue is not in your tongue, it's not in your mind, but it's in your heart. Now, let me ask you a question. If you got a messed up heart, can you get to heaven? Listen, if your heart is messed up, can you get to heaven? God loves us so much that when he sees some impurities, when he sees some malfunctions, when he sees some things in our heart that's not right, God says, whoa, you're not going to understand this right now, but I can't bless you. Because if I bless you right now with your heart like it is, you're going to think that you're all right. God says, I'm not going to bless you until you get it right. So instead of us trusting God, now this is what trusting the Lord with what?
All
your heart. When you trust him with all your heart, you say, Lord, there's some things I don't understand. But I believe your word. Because I believe your word, I'm going to follow you out all the way. No matter what anybody else does, I'm going to follow him. My best friend turned their back on God, but I'm going to follow him. I know when I got saved back in 1976, there was a whole bunch of us from college. A lot of us got saved and stayed saved, and a whole lot of us, friends, went away from God. So many of us was on the fence and said, what do we do? Are we going to follow the group that left or follow the group that stayed? I mean, God puts us all in one of those decision-making moments. What do you do when everything seems to be falling apart? I say, you know what? God has been good to me. In spite of all the afflictions, in spite of all the problems, God has been good. That's why the scripture said, it's good that I have been afflicted so that I can learn God's precept. In my affliction, I sought the Lord, and he heard my cry. But I had in mind to follow God and not to change. The next time things are going your way, can you quiet? Look at somebody and say, quiet. We can make a whole lot of noise. We can make a whole lot of sounds. Right? We can create a whole lot of havoc. Yeah, somebody be screaming and yelling, like, what's wrong? You don't understand. You know how you get kind of emotional? Y'all know how you get emotional? I'm gonna put a microphone on you. Like, you know how they're trying to put all these body cameras on these policemen? The body camera on the police will monitor what they do the whole time the body camera is on. I'm going to put a body camera on all of us for 24 hours. What? 24 hours. We're going to put a body camera. That body camera don't miss a thing. That body camera don't miss a word. That body camera, even in behind closed doors, is still monitoring you. So with that 24-hour body camera, when you bring it back to me and we begin to play the motion picture, I wonder how many of us are going to say, yeah, say, whoa, that ain't me. Oh, no, I didn't do that. What? I said that? I acted like that? The camera does not. I don't even do photo editing. Man, you can mess this up, but the camera will not lie. So, before we leave service today, I'm going to put y'all's body camera on.
Glory to God.
Instead of us going for a day, can we all listen by this body camera for 1 week? For 1 week, you got a body camera on. That body camera is going to monitor every word. It's going to monitor every action. It's going to monitor every reaction. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, we're just going to take that body camera. computer, and then we're going to put it on the big screen. And you're going to watch and say, wait a minute, that was me. I acted like that, and I love the Lord, and I follow God. So if that was anybody else, I would condemn them to hell for acting like that. That's facetious. I'm just saying. And God monitoring us. Every day, God is watching you.
Yes.
Every day, God is monitoring your words. God is monitoring your actions and your reactions. We say, I love the Lord, but we won't follow him without saying a word. So what do you do when you know somebody intentionally did something to spite you? What did you do? Right? Somebody say, you need to go back to the acts, or back to the attitude or the amount of loss. Lost, even if they speak evil in the doorway, you're still supposed to do good. But when somebody does something to spite us, and who I am and the position that I'm in, you think I'm going to take that from you? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow the Lord quietly. And I ain't going to say a word, because if I follow the Lord quietly, guess what? He's going to work it out. James said it's a little ruling member, but it's full of deadly poison. It's like, what's that? It's called the what? T-O-N-G-U-E. What does that spell? A little spelling class. The what? Tongue. That tongue can spit out some poison. It is full, it ain't full of this regular poison. It's full of what kind of poison? Deadly poison. But I love the Lord. I like to say, well, if you love the Lord, y'all must be, I'm messing with love you. That's right. We just talk about the heart. If I love the Lord, how in the world is that bitter and sweet water coming out of the same fountain? And I love the Lord. I'm all in God, and I praise the Lord, I shout. But somebody just said to me, if I was to people say, boy, nobody, everybody would be able to mess with me. You ever hear somebody say that? They don't, nobody, they know who I am. They know what I would do. You better get in God. You know what I mean? You got to get it. You got to let some of you go. You got to follow God. It says be still means to do, stop doing it your way. And do it whose way? God's way. We're going to close here in someone that challenges God. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to close here. Luke chapter 1 probably would represent many of us, and many of our lives, and many of our thoughts of how when God speaks to us. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you, don't say I guess, I know God spoke to me. Especially when you're in church, God speaks to you. But then, when we get out of church, we let it slip. But how many of us know God has spoken to me? And in church, I promised God one thing, but I left out the doors and I did another. Can we be real? Be truthful? Be honest? Your body cam exposes you. Right? Your body cam. It shows what you are when nobody else sees you. And what I like about this body camera, you can't turn it off. And you know what the body camera is? It's the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
Because God sees us.
Yes.
Everywhere we go. The scripture says concerning our God, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. God sees us in all time. God hears us and I love the Lord, I'm following the Lord, but we challenge him when we don't do it his way. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. This is Zechariah who had the most difficult, impossible situation. But God spoke to him, but he would not rest in the Lord patiently. He would not be still to realize that God was God. Verse 5 means there was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. Who? They don't need no approval, no appeal from any man. In the eyes of God, they were what? Righteous. So they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. Then we talk about somebody who had a testimony. Not before man, but before who? God. But let's just keep following the course. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. So they had an impossible situation. And God had not moved. And the scripture said that they basically had no child. And it came to pass that while he executed, verse 8, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom to the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of, and so the time of incense represented a time of prayer. So they went in there and they were what? Praying. And he was what? Righteous before God. Now the scripture says the ears of the Lord are open unto the who? Righteous. So he's praying and he is righteous. So God hears his prayer. Can we say praise the Lord? Now while he's praying in an impossible situation, well stricken in years, had no hope of a child, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of, and so God appears to him in his impossible situation. Amen? And when Zachariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Why was he troubled? Because this was a divine appearance. He knew that this wasn't a man. He knew this wasn't anything ordinary. He knew that God was speaking to him. Can we say thank you, Jesus? But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy God has heard your prayer. So don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Hallelujah. God has heard your prayer, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. The spirit of the angel is speaking to him, saying you want to have a child, and this is what you're going to call him. So there's no debating that this was a divine appearance. Can we say praise the Lord? He said, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. The angel is telling them all about his child. Say he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And then he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Now let's get down to verse 6:18, brother. Now the angel is speaking to them, and no doubt. Fear not. You're going to have a son, and this is what you're going to name it. And he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, let's find out, did Zachariah rest patiently? Did Zachariah wait on the Lord? Did Zachariah trust in the Lord with all his heart, or did he challenge God? The scripture said he was righteous. He was blameless. He did all the commandments. But in his situation, when God was speaking and moving, what did Zacharias do? Amen? Verse 18 says, and that man said unto him, whereby shall I go? He said, wait a minute, God has just answered your prayer. Why are you questioning how God's going to do it? If God said he's going to do it, why didn't you just accept what God said without challenging him? But Zechariah challenged him. He said, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Do you think God knew this? You know, sometimes we say, well, Lord, they said I'm going to get this, but I don't have this, and I don't have that. If God told you he's going to do it, trust him.
Yes.
God will do because God is not a man. And God will not, God cannot, God never has, and God never will lie. I'm not saying what you dreamed up about yourself. I'm saying when you know for sure in your spirit that God has spoken to you. And the angel answered Cynthia, I am. He said, wait a minute. You're questioning what God says. He said, not only am I an angel, but I'm going to tell you my name. Because when you hear Gabriel, hallelujah, if you read the Old Testament, you know who I am. He says, I'm going to tell you what, since you're not so sure you believe, he said, I'm going to qualify who I am. He said, my name is Gabriel. That stand in the, he said, I stand in God's presence. To show thee these glad, but Zacharias would not fully follow the Lord. After he heard all that God had said, let's see what Zacharias does. Verse 20 says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be. Now wait a minute. I'm going to stop right here because God has promised us some stuff. And then everything is all messed up. You know what God said? You know what? I'm going to keep you in that situation till you really believe that it's going to happen. He said, so you're going to stay deaf. You're going to stay dumb until the thing comes to truth or to fruition because you did not believe me. I wonder how many of us today are in a messed up situation because we won't believe God. We don't trust God. Amen? Latter part said, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Zacharias was righteous. Zacharias was blameless. Zacharias did everything, but his only fault was that he challenged God as we stand. Don't make the mistake when you know God has spoken to you. Don't challenge God. Well, how do I challenge God? I question his authority. I question his power. I question his ability. If God can do what he said he's going to do, don't question God. Don't look at somebody and say, don't challenge God. This week, purpose in your heart. Lord, I'm just going to pray, and whatever you say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to challenge you. How do we challenge God? When we continue to speak our own thoughts, our own mind, our own words, instead of following God. As the elders and the ministers come forward, the altar workers. I am the Lord. I search the heart, I try the reins, to give unto every man according to the work to his works as they shall be. I have not found my works perfect before me. I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Be willing and be obedient to my word, and I, the Lord, will perform my good word unto you, thus saith the Lord. Now, to explain that, when a prayer goes up, it's called the word of prophecy. God sends an answer to the prayer that goes up. And the question today is that God is searching our hearts. You know, the thing is, in church, I don't believe in using fear to get anyone to do anything. Amen. Because anybody that follows God has to follow him out of a pure heart. You can't do it out of fear. You can't do it out of trepidation. But today, God is searching hearts. We can't see it. We don't know it. But guess who knows? God. And God said, now let us reason together. God can bless you. God can help you. But you have to be willing to surrender all of the others. Hallelujah.
Good job. Thank you, God.